Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. Greetings, everyone, tonight. Open your Bible to John 14. As we continue to work through the Gospel of John. John 14. There is so much in the upper room discourse that we are taking our time working our way through to get the depth of what's being said, because everything that's said here was kind of a mini guidebook and manifesto for the disciples to go into the book of Acts. And you saw and reading the monumental effect that the early church had, though there was a lot of suffering and persecution. And the work, no doubt, was because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to read the... tonight we're just going to do... verse 12 through, we might get to 15, but I want to read 12 through 24 just to get a context so we can see what's coming ahead in the weeks to come. Verse 12, most surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater work than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Let's pray. Father, we come before you again in the need of your help to be attentive and to keep our minds from wandering and drifting. Help us to be alert to what's being taught here. Lord, and help us to listen to, as you are teaching your disciples, these great, monumental, transformative truths. A lot of things that are said here that when we don't understand their intention, we miss their purpose and point. And so, Father, we pray that we will not only hear and listen, that we would understand and have our wills in line with the desire to obey for your honor and your glory. in Christ's name. Amen. We had just finished a series of three major points that keyed off of questions or statements from the apostles, such as Peter, I'll never deny thee. Thomas, how can we know the way? And Philip, show us the Father. Our Lord now zeroes in on to an important thing that we all know is important. We learn it from day one. We actually learn it before we get saved. And that is the concept of prayer. Prayer is very important. I had found a sarcastic bumper sticker. Goes like this. Why pray when you can worry? And yet how often do we worry and not pray? Okay, one of the best remedies for a troubled heart, which is in the context, is prayer. Pray and praying and being true and faithful and praying rightly and justly and with the right intention. I love the song, the hymn that we sing often, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We sing it, but sometimes do we pay attention to what it's saying? So many of our griefs and burdens and misunderstandings and issues come from because we don't go to Him in prayer. Philippians said, be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing, but everything in prayer. So we have here our Lord instantly trying to help us with the concept of prayer and intermingling many other great truths in these few verses for tonight. Let's look at verse 12 again together. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he will do also and greater work than thee he will do because I go to my Father. So he opens up the idea, prayer is going to follow this, but he opens up with the statement, most assuredly. Interesting concept. It's the word that means it's actually a double positive, a double affirmation, verily, verily, truly, truly, most assuredly. If you just said surely, it's one thing. Most assuredly is doubling up on that assurance. And he's making a statement, if you believe in me and you believe what I say to you, he's trying to get their attention that I've been always telling you the truth, but this is double down important. This is truly, most assuredly important. He who believes in me. This stresses a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. A personal commitment to Jesus Christ, not only for our soul, for salvation, but in our life for the Christian life and our life in the way of serving the kingdom and the gospel. So the idea is that do you believe in him and then you will do not only for your salvation, but for your sanctification, for your service. Then he said this, the work that I do, he will do also. And greater work than these he will do. So I had posed a question right here, and it goes like this, what did Jesus mean? We will do greater work than him. Okay? I do not believe it had to do with greater in power, because how can you be more powerful in what Jesus did? I do not believe, it certainly does not believe in the mere physical miracles, because in the book of Acts, the miracles that the disciples did there do not compare what the stuff that Jesus did. It did happen. It wasn't stated as a normative, and yet Jesus did these things. I like what Henry Morris said here to help set the stage for us and give us a little key to understand what our Lord may be driving at here. Quote, and we should notice that the doing of these works is because I go to the Father. They are the result of the completion of Jesus' whole work of salvation. We are justified as seeing a reference to the death he is about to die, to the resurrection, and to the sending of the Holy Spirit that would enable believers to go forth in their service of God in a strength not their own. It is in this way that they would do their greater work, end quote. So he is setting the stage. That's why all you have to do is get to verse 16. He said, I'm praying for another helper here for you. I will send another helper. And when we get into chapter 15 and 16, he's going to reiterate those things. And he will say, I must go so the Holy Spirit can come. And so we see here, what I believe Jesus is saying here is the work of the gospel because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For example, in just a little over 50 days from the moment these words were uttered, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a message that, and God blessed with the conversion and transformation of 3,000 souls. There is nowhere in the recorded gospel that we have that kind of number from our Lord. We have people coming in droves to watch miracles, but not conversion. Okay? Conversions were small scale. So I believe that the idea of the gospel ministry and expanding of the gospel as it went from beginning in Jerusalem and out. So the idea of doing greater work. Some people want to say we're going to be able to do exactly what Jesus do and do a miracle just like he did at will and so on and so forth. And that is simply not the case. I believe we need to keep it in context and how it fleshed out in the book of Acts. And so we see here, Jesus, one of the things that I think it's helpful to understand that Jesus never preached outside of Palestine, and yet his followers were spread the gospel throughout the world. Jesus' ministry was primarily to the Jews, but his disciples would take the gospel to the Gentiles throughout the whole world. The disciples' ministry was greater geographically. So we see that fact that he stayed in Jerusalem while everybody else is going and spreading the word out. Not to mention Jesus ministered in his earthly ministry. He ministered basically at one place at a time. For example, when he was in Galilee, he was not in Jerusalem. When he was in Capernaum, he was not in Nazareth, etc., etc. Ministries happen, but when God's people multiply and that gospel work continued on because of the empowering of the Spirit of God as well as the gospel, we see greater work. We see it greater not only geographically, we see it greater in numbers. Jesus was one person. The church started with a few and had grown to millions across the world. Look at how many churches. I know churches sometimes are not being all that they should be, but by and large, there's a lot of churches that have the gospel in it. And there are gospel people that have gotten saved from the gospel. Of course, it was all done as God was working in and through his people. We see that at promise in Mark 16:20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word. So if we do what God had commanded us to do and commissioned us to do, he will be with us. One of the great promises is that in Matthew 28, that when we make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe all things, and lo, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. Even Philippians 2:13 talked about, for it is God who worked in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He says this in the context, again, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, that I do will do also, and greater work than these he will do. Why? Because I go to my Father. And we know, and we will learn later on, clearly, that is the that the significance of the, when I go, the Holy Spirit come. When I go, the Holy Spirit will do His work. Though to a greater degree, was only possible when Jesus would gone to the Father after His burial, resurrection, and ascension. This implies a few things. Number one, Christ must first do the work of the cross, then go to the Father. The Holy Spirit then will be given to empower His people for the ministry, for the gospel. Not only that, for we know for transformation, sanctification, Christ-likeness. The Holy Spirit will provide them with the power they need to extend the work that Christ had begun. We know that because very early on, just before He ascended to His Father in Acts 1:8, He said these words, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So clearly we see, start here, when the Holy Spirit has empowered you here, next geographical, and it just extended into the rest of the world. These are the ideas of the greater work I believe He had in mind. So when Jesus goes to His Father, He gives the Holy Spirit, but while Jesus is with His Father, He begins a new ministry known as the ministry of intercession on behalf of His people, and we see that from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "Therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." It is His marvelous ministry. Then we come to the prayer aspect in verse 13 and 14. Look at it with me. The text says, "And whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it." So in the context of these greater works, don't forget prayer. Prayer always signifies dependence upon Him to live the life and do the work of ministry, because we cannot do it in our own strength. It is not possible. We can do religious activity, but to do the work that the gospel is promised to change lives and transform people from death to life requires the ministry of the Holy Spirit to work on our behalf. But we are to apply His ordained means in the preaching of the gospel. So we see prayer plays a role. But He wants to help us with something. Prayer, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do. That I will do when you ask it in My name. So here, prayer according to the will of God access to the spiritual resources we need to do the work of the gospel. That's why we see in Philippians 4 verse 19, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In His power and His strength, He will supply it according to His riches and wealth. But He said, "Whoever, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do." What did He mean by that? In My name, Jesus. I can tell you what it's not, which I used to think until thankfully I had a pastor that took time to preach in a way that helped us to understand what it's saying. It's not adding it on the end of a prayer, the magic formula that obligates God to answer our prayer, our every request. No. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Praying in Jesus' name is to make a request that is consistent with His person, His nature, His character, His desire, His will, and for His glory. Yes, you can pray for things, other things, physical things, but always in accordance with His will and be content with His outworking of that providence. whatever that may be. But by and large, let's remember when we pray, we need to ask ourselves, how consistent am I with God's desires in my prayer? These are my prayer desires. What are His? And when He doesn't answer them according to our desires, are we discontent? He's saying, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. So, you do not get the promise, that I will do, until you understand that in His name means inconsistency with His person, character, desire, will, and glory. So the first thing we need to understand is we should always make every request consistent with the will of God. Well, how do I know if it's the will of God? The more you know the Bible, the more you'll know the will of God. How do we know that this is the truth? 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. Listen carefully. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That doesn't simply mean, oh, I hear Him. He hears with the idea of answering. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. It is in accordance to His will. That is what we're talking about here when it comes to prayer. Every time, even when we make prayer requests, let it be consistent with the will of God. If we share and express our desires, at the end of the day, whenever our request is, it needs to be not my will, but Yours, Lord. Help me to be perfectly, joyfully content there. That's the hard work. That's the hard work. It's easy when everybody else is having problems. It's hard when it's home. Remember when our Lord taught us to pray in Matthew 6. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So pray according to His will. Second thing we all need to acknowledge our spiritual poverty, unfitness, and unworthiness to receive anything. We do not deserve an answer. Praise God, He's willing to give it if we align ourselves with His will. He's not asking us to use prayer as a tool to do our thing, to do what we want, independent and autonomous from Him. It is in accordance to His will, according to His name, that would bring glory to His name, exalt His name, bring worship. We can only come to the basis in prayer on the merit of Jesus Christ and our complete dependence upon Him to supply our needs. Those needs could be basic needs in life day to day. Our daily bread could be our basic needs of spiritual power for our sanctification, mortification of sin, putting on the fruit of the Spirit, work of service and ministry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever the case, the need is great, but we need to always pray, understanding our inability and unfitness, and appeal from that spirit of humility. Number three, we pray that God in the end will be glorified in the answer to the request. That's why we should always then, Lord, this is my desire. I am pouring out my heart. This is what I would like regarding this situation. We all have scenarios and situations that we prefer this than that. But Lord, at the end of the day, Your will, not mine. At the end of the day, I want You to be glorified, not me to be satisfied. That's how we can glorify God. How do I know that? Because when you look at our verse 13, whenever you ask in my name, I'll do that the Father may be glorified in the Santo, the whole aspect of prayer right here is that God would be glorified in our text. This is the ultimate purpose for prayer and answer to prayer. The glory of our triune God. Then he kind of reiterates it again in the very next verse. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Here Jesus is repeating this twice for emphasis. You know, in case you didn't get it the first time, let me take another circle and run at it. In my name, I will do it. He is reassuring them, but also reminding them to don't go amok in your prayers. Stay focused on the will and the purpose and why you're here and why we're praying. Praise God we have access to prayer. We always need to remember these things when we pray. But there's a few other things we need to remember because we forget them from time to time. I know you're going to know these the moment I say it. You've heard it dozens of times. If it wasn't for me, you certainly have from devotional book and other places. That is number one, Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So before you even begin to give your petitions, may you sure you confess your sins and do not regard sin and iniquity in your heart. Proverbs 15:8 said it this way, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So the parallel here is the sacrifice of the wicked must have been prayer. And God saw the prayers of the wicked as an abomination. But he loved to hear the prayers of the upright. They are a great source of delight. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Not the perfect, but the righteous. Those who are living in accordance as best they can, in the power of the Spirit, in accordance to his will. We also learn from back in chapter 9 in John, Chapter 9:31, now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. So those are important truths. I am going to stop there because I know the next one is going to take some time. Okay, I can just feel it coming. So I'm going to leave it right there. We'll pick it up next week on verse 15. But let's pay attention that God had, by the marvelous ministry of the Holy Spirit, and it put us into a position to do his work and greater work because of the sheer numbers. And Jesus did them, obviously, we know from the power of the Spirit in his own life. But also, beloved, the lesson on prayer is real simple. Not always easy to remember in practice. Pray according to his will and be content with his answer. Many a times I tell people, by and large, he answered that one in three ways, yes, no, maybe later. Either way, we need to be content and ask God to be glorified. And that should be our greatest desire. So look at your checklist. I mean, look at your prayer list. Listen to how you pray. Listen to the prayer requests you are making. And think of these things that we had learned tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness and goodness to us. Thank you for these lessons that our Lord gave to his disciples in that room that night. Astounding lessons. Very practical. He had their attention by so many things that started the night, such as the washing of the feet, telling the people that, the disciples that he's going to be betrayed, later that he will be denied and that he's gonna go away and they can't come. Speaking of his death, he was equipping them and preparing them for the work of the book of Acts, allowing him to learn by and large explicitly for the first time in such plain and clear language the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Lord, may we be attentive in the days and weeks ahead on these chapters. They really, really are helpful and instructive for all of us. But Lord, when we pray, may we pray with sincere hearts, with the confession of our sins, humbling ourselves before you, knowing that we don't deserve answers, but we're thankful that you call us to pray to you. You command us to pray to you, and you instructed to do it in a way that we would do it in accordance to your will, not ours, to your perfect and glorious, all-glorifying will, not ours, that often degenerate to merely outward, temporary, earthly, and in this world type of answers. Oh God, may we think on the large scale as the gospel teaches us to take to all the world. To that, every man, every woman, and every child's greatest need, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.